noticing a problem, making a song as an intervention, and hopefully, or the goal of the song being some sort of change, some sort of new awareness in the listener, some sort of shift in relationships between people and the audience, mm-hmm. some sort of praxis.
Vete conmigo, amigo, hablar y caminar, porque el camino se hace al andar. Vete conmigo, amigo, hablar y caminar, porque el camino se hace al andar. Se hace al andar.
Jim.
Hola, amigo.
¿Quién soy yo?
Mi amigo, my friend, Marcos. Marcos de Jesús de la Guago.
Gracias. And that's who I am. And this is my friend, mi amigo, James Noguera. Del carro. A.K.A.
Del carro.
A.K.A. Oh, J-Nog.
Okay.
So... today on Al Andar, our show and tell with art for grown-ups, Jim is showing up to discuss my EP, my short album, Early Etudes, Volume 10, Movement Music, now available on Bandcamp at marcosdelaguagua.bandcamp.com. And before we... yeah, and I'd like to talk about it with Jim as a praxis practice within my limited bedroom studio troubadour's resources. It's an example of how I've used my songwriting work as a way to organize by noticing a problem, making a song as an intervention, and hopefully, or the goal of the song being some sort of change, some sort of new awareness in the listener, some sort of shift in relationships between people and the audience, mm-hmm. some sort of praxis, which means, is that a word you're familiar with? It's kind of old school.
Why don't you define that for listeners?
All right. So without referring to Webster, I realized that I had it explained to me socially, right? Like I was at some sort of, it's probably my father was facilitating some sort of community organizing meeting, you know? And I heard it defined as right thought and right action in balance with each other.
Yeah, and referring to Webster, it's practice as distinguished from theory, or accepted practice or custom. It comes from medieval Latin, from Greek, literally doing. So it comes from the Greek for to do. That's pretty cool.
Okay, so it's basically the word practice but fancy. Okay. Interesting. All right, man. Wepa. So before we practice or praxis or do a practice, Jim, let's check in a little bit. One thing that I found interesting that you told me recently was that you had planned your writing schedule for some years in advance. Why? Any other things you think are important or meaningful to elucidate about that? How's that work?
It really helps me because I have a hard time figuring out what I want to write, but I have a lot of ideas floating around in my head, and I want to blog, and I want to write poetry, and I want to write fiction, and I want to write like a nonfiction book as well on philosophy. Mm. So part of organizing all of that for me is creating a weekly schedule that I have on my Google Calendar that are, you know, tasks that I complete throughout the week that lets me focus on particular writing tasks like creative writing, blogging, filmmaking, etc. And then there's the what is it? I think it's a spreadsheet. So I have a spreadsheet that has the years, so 2024, 2025. It sounds complicated. Like if I say it goes out to 2030, et cetera, like that sounds like a lot, but it's a little bit simpler than that, than it seems, because what I'm trying to do is do something on even years, do something on odd years, do something on every 5 years, and do something every decade. So hopefully that simplifies, what I'm doing. So every odd year, I do something. I might release a chapbook, for example. Maybe every even year, I'll do a novel, right? And then every 5 years, I think it's maybe a collection. Is that what it is? And then maybe every 10 years, it's, I think it might be like a nonfiction book, something like that. So, life is short, man. And, you know, just whatever your thing is that you want to do, you know, do it. Don't let people limit, you know, who you are. And just if you want to write a book, write a book. And worry about the other stuff later. And so that's kind of what I'm doing.
Mm. Wow, that's dope, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
So, shouts to everybody celebrating the Year of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. I think you also modeled there's the option for people to observe the James Noguera Zodiac. It's in a 10-year cycle.
Yeah, 10-year cycle, yeah.
Yeah. that sounds complicated, but, you know, it's way more complicated having 3,000 voice memos, 12 pending notebooks, 30 notebooks that I've already processed, you know, and hundreds of other miscellaneous files. So, like, yeah, like complicated is inevitable, right? Structure is praxis.
Yeah.
potentially at least. So yeah, that sounds pretty dope to me. The way we spend our days is, of course, the way we live our days is, of course, the way we live our lives, you know? So
yes.
I wonder to what extent you can, you know, there is this tension between your daily goals, you know, and your larger goals. And there is this aspiration that if I just, like, over the last year, I kept up an average of an EP a month, you know.
Nice.
And thank you. And that's great. That's a huge blessing for me. It and makes my inner life more real in the world. You know, it's closer to self-actualizing. And at the same time, it there that by itself is hard to convert to goals that end in something other than an EP on Bandcamp, as you kind of describe, you know? So how much of a problem is it to have to or not have to wake up at 6 a.m. every day and write for 3 hours?
Wait, sorry, how much of a problem it is?
You mentioned about your daily goals, you know?
Yes.
Does it just make, I don't know, man, I guess I get kind of freaked out about every day, you know, not following what I intend to, because what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I laugh because I'm thinking about, I've had the same problem. So I talked about, and this is valuable conversation for anybody who's making art or entrepreneuring or doing or really just trying to live in the 21st century and be a productive human. And I mean productive with like meaning, with meaning, right? It's not just doing more to do more, but to do more of what you want to do.
Yeah, man.
And what gives meaning to your life. And I had this problem where part of the solution for me was, as I alluded to earlier, is create tasks on my Google Calendar, right? And I had other methods in the past, but I stuck with this method because it's visual and I was already using Google Calendar. And so I decided that let's use this. This is the simplest thing I can use. And you can set up recurring tasks and you can sort of check them off and so on. And so what I noticed is that initially it was good, but it started to kind of get bigger and bigger. And then it kind of fills up the whole day. And then there's a little bit of anxiety there. Because I have all of these tasks that I have to do. And if I don't do them, right, then I feel bad because there are all these tasks that I didn't do. And so you're now having to, like, basically the negative side of all that is now there's like an extra bit of anxiety seeing everything. I think I originally had the task in red and I'm like, you know, a little intense. Let's make this pink. And and then I think what helps also is having a minimum for these tasks that's really low, right? To make them seem non-scary.
Yes.
And so, for example, one of my tasks daily is to read. And really, I want to read at least an hour a day, but you know, life happens, right? So, so for me, if I can just start reading, right? If I can read for 5 minutes, and maybe I have other things to do, I can check that off, and I can come back to that, you know, if I have time. But just taking that off of the calendar, letting myself know, okay, I had the intention of doing more, but I at least got started on this. And I find that to be a really helpful way to take some of that edge off of, you know, all of these intense things.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that's great. And I think that leads actually into the discussion of the album with the brilliant acronym PIC, Problem, Intervention, Change. We're talking about kind of trying to hack daily life, right? and these spheres over which we have choices. A lot of my writing is inspired by an effort to, to impact the larger world around me. So here's my introduction to the album Early Etudes Movement, Early Etudes Volume 10, Movement Music, that I wrote to my followers on Bandcamp. Here are a few of my efforts so far at inspirational movement music. 13-minute listen. What if the perfect song could change the world? I am easily seduced by that idea. The right combination of insight, call to action, emotion, and catchiness could animate people to transform our world for the good. So far, I know a few of my songs have helped out a few people in a pinch. A friend told me that she sang "You Have the Right to an Attorney," a song on the collection, with her protest comrades at the top of her lungs in jail after being arrested with Occupy Wall Street, for example. Have any of these songs changed the world? Maybe not. But the beat goes on. So whether or not the world... Okay, so that's the end of that pre-written sample there. Whether or not whether or not the world has changed, the activity that each of these songs came from, or the praxis that they're a part of, is that I had some awareness of a problem. I made the song as an intervention, and I decided the song was finished when I thought I'd done what I could to create some sort of change through the experience of the song. All right. Problem, intervention, change. Jim.
Yes, sir.
Thoughts on any of that? Thoughts or feelings? Go ahead.
Yeah. I like the framework of, I also like the acronym pick. we talked about this a little bit. It's much better than some of the other acronyms we thought of, but we don't need to get into that.
Yeah.
The metaphor of pick, right? It's an image, but something can also be picking at your brain, and that's exactly what kind of a problem or that initial inspiration kind of does. And many times as artists, we're inspired by a problem in the world or a problem internal, right? And obviously the boundary between the internal and the external, you know, I think is not always so concrete. It's you know, the world doesn't stop at the skin, and so we're all motivated by some sort of conflict or problem, as you say. And I think as artists, we're trying to make that intervention for ourselves or for the world or for both. And I think we're on the same wavelength on that. I think this is, let's see, I'm trying to think is this different from what I do as an artist? And No, I think this is pretty spot on. I think, you know, we're all trying to, we artists are all trying to create some sort of change. Even if the change is not external or internal in the moment, I think we might be trying to create change in some sort of future thing. So like if we're trying to maybe change the world for the better, maybe we can't do that in the present. Maybe we want to, and changing the world doesn't have to mean fixing some sort of big problem or injustice in the world, but could be sharing a little bit more beauty, a little bit more meaning, reminding people of what we are wont to forget, and sometimes, you know, the artist, you know, doesn't provide the answers, but the questions, right, the right framework to maybe to think about things or problems further. So so I love this little acronym, and yeah, I invite listeners to think about, you know, their own lives and what they draw inspiration from, and if they use PIC in their own lives, right? Problem, intervention, change.
Yeah. And PIC, right? It can also mean choice, right?
Mm.
What your choice. That's my PIC. That's, you know.
Ah. Yes. Okay. PIC.
But,
okay.
But it's also only after you've limited the options down to a definite set, right? Then you can PIC.
Mm. Yeah, which requires reflection, contemplation.
Yeah.
It's a good kind of model of some broader concepts too. It's existential. I think this is part of just a framework for life.
Cool. So the first two tracks on the album are tackling very specific problems, making a very specific intervention, and in a very simple and direct way, achieving or working toward some sort of specific change. So the first song is a setting of the 8-hour of lyrics that were previously set to a different melody, by I.G. Blanchard, who was writing in support of the 8-hour day movement, right, in the United States, workers organizing around the frame that Blanchard poetically framed as 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will. You know, I mean, I heard about that and thought, wow, it's just helpful. The intervention that I wanted to achieve was just people being aware that this movement had happened and that it had succeeded, you know, that such a thing was possible. So I think I'd like to listen to just the first minute of 8 hours. Okay.
Let's do it.
We mean to make things over. We're tired of work for naught, but bare enough to live on. Never an hour for thought. We mean to feel the sunshine. We mean to smell the flowers. We're sure that God has willed it, and we mean to have 8 hours.
You know, ultimately, you know, it's about, for me, meaning, right? Work for work's sake has, for many people, lost its meaning because people have to work to survive. And that was not the case for humans in the same way for a long time.
I'm just trying to make these ideas that are to you and me are emotional, you know, just let the emotion come across. And I'm trying, I just kept that version of it where it was just a cappella and kind of a direct address, you know, but with, so like I'm speaking to you, dear listener, you know, but I'm singing in a style which I hope comes across as kind of, well, as contemporary and direct and directly speaking to you, you know? You have the right to an attorney. We already, I already mentioned was just an effort to give people a strategy to memorize the number to call if you're arrested in New York City at a protest, because the New York Lawyers Guild, the New York office of the National Lawyers Guild will help you find pro bono counsel, right? Occupy Wall Street protests, there was a lot of use of the people's microphone, which is you shout out mic check and
you, mic check.
Right. Yeah. People shout back mic check. And then you make a brief announcement through just saying something and people repeat it back. Right. So I would say something like my mic check would be like something like this song teaches this you song. The number to call. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's go. Mic check.
Mic check.
This song.
This song
is the number.
Is the number
to call.
To call
for a lawyer.
For a lawyer.
For free.
For free.
If you're arrested.
If you're arrested.
6796018 will help you deal with the police state. 6796018 will help you deal with the police state. 6796018 will help you deal with the police state. You dial 212. That's the first thing you got to do. Then you dial 6796018212. That's the first thing you got to do. Now then, 6796018 will help you deal with the police state. 6796018 will help you deal with the police state. 6796018 will help you deal with the police state. 6796018
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
So, let's see how the intervention went. What's the number to call if you're arrested in a protest for free legal counsel in New York City?
212 is the first thing you have to do. And then I forget the rest. No, I know it ends in. I could try, but
change is difficult, y'all. Change is difficult.
Yeah, for real.
It's all right.
Ends in eight.
Right? Because it rhymes with state. It had to rhyme with police state. Yeah. So, yeah, and the other change is difficult. It's all good. Yeah. That doesn't mean it may be absurd, but that doesn't mean it's meaningless, right? The effort. The other thing that I experienced is that the best case is that it becomes folklore, right? Because I sang it a few times at protests, and I was singing in a register that worked for my pretty low voice, you know? And I recorded this and shared it on social media with like hashtag OWS and, you know, a few of my friends at least had it on their MP3 player, you know, and in 2011. And so a friend of mine told me about actually that it was actually deployed. She was in city jail. A big group of people had been arrested. She was a protest medic. A lot of people were pepper sprayed by cops in Occupy Wall Street protests. And she said, "Yeah, we sang your song." And then she busts out, 6796018 will help you face the police state.
Yes.
Which is not my song, but it was, she, you right. She totally changed the melody, you know?
Okay.
I think she's using this is a boogie woogie there. It's pretty cool. it's totally fine. But así es el folklore, right? That's kind of the best. We have very little control, you know? And the intervention, you know, doesn't mean that the change will be, doesn't mean anything about how big the change will be, you know? Yet I do find, I don't know, for me at least, this is good. Pick is as good as it gets, right? When I am able to identify a problem, do that work to offer some sort of intervention. And then change is kind of, well, we say in my church tradition, conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not in our hands.
I'm tempted to say amen. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
Yes, of course.
All right.
Amen. How should we listen to Soy Berlinista?
Let's listen to it. I mean, I think, you know, it is in Spanish. So for those who don't speak Spanish, maybe say what you want to say before they listen to it.
¿Qué significa Bernista? ¿Y es una palabra real o una cosa rara inventado por Marquitos?
Why do you sound like Dora the Explorer?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, my default accent is, like a giant Dora the Explorer. With a baritone Dora is is just where I go. Anyhow, ¿qué significa? what's a Bernista, Jim?
A Bernista is someone who supports Bernie Sanders, to put it as simply as I can.
Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista. Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista. Soy Bernista porque quiero mi pueblo y quiero que mi pueblo no sufra más. Soy Bernista y si une conmigo nuestro mundo podemos cambiar. Soy Bernista y si une conmigo un futuro más lindo podemos crear. Un futuro con suficiente para todo. Un futuro de paz y libertad. Un futuro con reforma migratoria. Junto a la historia podemos crear. Con millones participando en una revolución demócrata. Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista. Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista. Soy Bernista porque quiero mi pueblo y quiero que mi pueblo no sufra más. Soy Bernista y si une conmigo nuestro mundo podemos cambiar. Soy Bernista y si une conmigo un futuro más lindo podemos crear. Los poderosos andan diciendo mentira. Los poderosos no quieren engañar. Los poderosos tienen todo el dinero. Pero nosotros con la solidaridad. Los poderosos tienen todo el dinero. Pero nosotros con la solidaridad. Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista. Soy Bernista, soy Bernista, soy Bernista, Bernista.
Llegó la hora de decir,
soy Bernista,
los taxistas y los artistas,
soy Bernista,
gente antirracista,
soy Bernista,
y la vanguardia feminista,
soy Bernista,
el este y el oeste,
soy Bernista,
el candidato de la gente,
soy Bernista,
un chamaco de Brooklyn que es,
soy Bernista,
sin olvidar de nosotros, disco gracias.
Soy Bernista.
Soy Bernista. Soy Bernista. Soy Bernista. Bernista. Soy Bernista. Soy Bernista. Soy Bernista. 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 Bernie está.
Bernie Sanders está con nosotros, familia. Pa'lante.
Bernie está.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of cool stuff here. I would love for you to talk about like the things that you feel are the most salient in the piece that you want to translate. But what I notice is, back to some of the, or the overall theme of this particular episode, is the idea that we can change the future, that our work today, our lives work today, and also our artistic work has value because it has the potential for changing the world. And even though, as you said earlier, we don't know how big the change might be or if we are going to be successful, that attempt at making the world better is what is valuable, you know. And I'm thinking about Martin Luther King and then so many other brave people who didn't know that, you know, that that they would make a significant difference, but who had the dream or had the vision, you know, of the mountaintop or you know, a more ideal world. So some of the lyrics that stuck out to me is, you know, forgive me, I was writing stuff down and I might not have the full lyrics, but I think you were talking about, you know, un futuro que I forget what comes before this, but gente que no sufra más, right? So people who do not suffer more. Sí. Que podemos cambiar, we can change, un futuro más lindo, right? A more beautiful future. Yeah. Podemos crear, we can create it. Anyway, so I love the how it comes full circle to this beautiful life-affirming meaning that our work, and I'm using the word work here in like the double meaning, artistic work and life work, and sometimes sometimes it's the same thing, that has meaning because of the purpose that we imbue it with. So I'd love for you to just, you know, talk more about that.
Yeah, man. Amen. Like, yeah, I think the general points, those philosophical and sort of human need points that those philosophical points you describe human needs. And I want to affirm that. And I also find myself. And then so like once you accept that, you can find meaning in, well, details of creative work. I find meaning in details of creative work, especially, right? So Woody Guthrie, I think, would like paint on his guitars, "This machine kills fascists." And I mean, I think that was like in the context of the Spanish Civil War, you know, it was a pretty stark frame or context of World War II, you know, and that's gangster, right? I don't know if I have a nonviolence vocation, right? But clearly he didn't quite mean it literally either, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a powerful frame, and I do think one of the things, the kind of basic things that we need to have a social dispensation that's any alternative to fascism is some faith. It's some belief that there's such a thing as truth, you know, there's such a thing as meaning, and that change is possible, you know. Without those things, or when people just feel worn out and don't really believe those things, Trump is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, seems okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Trump is fun and liberals are stressful.
But even more seriously, like the just like Stalinism. And I love what you said, because like, you know, I think about, I don't know, I feel like I say this so often that like I'm, but I took a course that I'll never forget in my life, at BCC, as a matter of fact, one of the best courses I've ever taken. History of Modern Russia. I wish I could remember the professor's name to give him a shout out. Just a tremendous professor. But just learning about what life was like during Stalinism and grappling with how people lived and survived during that time. And to add on to what you were saying, like, you know, fascism survives off of sort of the nihilism of the masses. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why, you know, religion was sort of the enemy of the fascist state. So I just wanted to echo that.
Yeah. Wow. I was convinced I should record this song and do what I could to get it in social media and get it in front of Bernie Sanders' 2016 primary campaign for president, because I realized that it was clear that a few places where there was a concentration of Puerto Ricans, a few of these places were potentially going to be important in that primary campaign. And you don't hear it on commercial radio. You don't hear it very much on commercial streaming. But Plena is very recognizable and has a certain cultural currency for the Puerto Rican diaspora, right? So that's the style I'm working with here, you know? And it's specifically a style that has a certain credibility when it comes as movement music, right? Because the drums are handheld, so they work really well for parrandas, right? For a party going down the street or a protest march going down the street, you know? And so, right, so I'm trying to perk the ears of and pick the brains of mi gente boricua in the diaspora, right? Another intervention, you talked about un futuro más lindo, right? Mm-hmm. My tone that I found myself using in this recording is not soy Bernita, soy Bernita, Bernita, right? Which is, that's a more of a Plena voice, right? Because the voice is deployed as a drum. I would be mocked. Lo que tú cantas un bolero. Mocked for singing. Oh, you're singing bolero style, you know. But that's another intervention. That was a choice. That was saying that this is centered in love. You know, I wanted to have a loving tone, you know. And then the last section of the song does use like a salsero voice, right? Llegó la hora de decir. Right?
That's so good.
And thank you. And that's kind of that's the more concentrated call and response section. That's the take you to church working section, get happy, you know, culmination of the song. And on the one hand, yeah, it's a cha-cha-cha beat, which is more recognizable to non-Puerto Ricans, you know, and very also recognizable to Puerto Ricans, though it's originally from Cuba. And there, I'm trying to really, well, throughout the song, I'm really trying to call together the biggest Spanish-speaking coalition for Bernie Sanders 2016 that I can do in a few words, you know. So specifically saying that our more, you know, un futuro más lindo needs to include immigration reform, you know, which is not directly, doesn't directly affect Puerto Ricans, right? And then there are also these interventions sort of against some of the critiques that I was aware of. This is the last thing I'll say about being leveraged toward the Sanders campaign. One was using Bernista rather than what I had seen on Twitter was Sandernista, and they were low-key trying to identify him with revolutionary socialism. I think because that sounds like Sandinista, right? And so I went with Bernista, trying to reframe that. And the Sandinistas and what they were and what they became, that's a whole other dialogue. And the other intervention was I'd been hearing the trope of Bernie Bros, and Bernie Bros were was a way of looking at Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton, of framing the gender politics of those two candidates as if it were just associated with the gender of the candidate, or in this case, certain supposedly misogynist dudes who supported Bernie, you know, where I think if you look at the actual policies, it was easy to see how Bernie Sanders had you could easily argue that he had a feminist agenda, you know, and a feminist track record, right? So in the call and response part of the song, it's like llegó la hora de decir soy bernista, mi gente antirracista, la vanguardia feminista, los artistas y los taxistas, right? So that's kind of convening that as imagining a very broad coalition, right? So the time has come to say soy bernista, my anti-racist people, the feminist vanguard, the artists and the taxi drivers. So it might not have changed the world, but yeah, I like how I do feel how just believing that change can happen, that truth does exist, and that we can discern it and we can talk about it, you know, I can give meaning to the work we can do and the spaces we can make more beautiful, you know, no matter the scale, small or less small.
Amen. That is certainly a call to action. I wouldn't add much more to that because I think we agree on that. All I'll say is that it is a good enough reason to get up every morning. Why do you sound like Dora the Explorer?